Starting hour number three, it's going to be a busy one, too. I am Jim Rome, and we are live in the Quicken Loan Studios. Again, in Southern California, apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Coming up in the last segment of this hour, I've got Frank Gore, Miami Dolphins running back. Frank Gore has always been good about coming on the program, but we have not had him lately. I've been efforting him. It's good to run him down finally. Well, when we run him down. Frank Gore having another big year. Miami coming off that crazy win, the Miami Miracle over the Patriots. So Frank Gore coming up in about 35 minutes. Currently, we are efforting Indiana Pacers center, Miles Turner. And in fact, I'm no longer efforting. I have located. He is a center for the Pacers, coming off an enormous game last night. 26 points, 12 rebounds, 5 blocks in that win over Washington. Over the past 5 games, averaging 15 points, 11 rebounds, and 4 blocks, he was a former McDonald's All-American. He was the 11th pick overall in 2015 out of Texas. Indiana is in second in the Central. They're at home. Another big game against Milwaukee tomorrow night. Miles Turner is my guest. Miles, great to have you on. How are you?
Good, man. How you doing?
Doing great. It's great to visit with you. So I mentioned you were coming off a monstrous game last night. Just to reset that, 26, 12, and 5 blocks. You've been on a roll lately, but that was next-level stuff. Did you know going into that game that you had something special working? And then when you're out there and you're dominating like that on the floor, what's it feel like?
Oh, it feels great, man. Just to go out there and have a performance like that, especially in front of our home crowd. And the biggest thing I wanted to do was just go out there and just play as hard as I possibly could. That's what I've been doing over this past couple of stretching games, and it's been working for me.
But so you're taking it kind of in stride. Let me put it to you another way. Your teammate Darren Collison said after the game, quote, "I'm going to be real with you. When you look at Miles and the type of player he can be, it's almost scary. He's long. He can roll to the basket. He can pop from mid-range. He can pop a three-pointer, and he can play defense. Most bigs can just play offense or just play defense or just roll to the basket. Miles has every tool a big in this league needs at some point in every game," end quote. I mean, Collison is a vet in this league. He's been around a long time. This guy does not throw compliments like that around. So what's it mean to hear that from him, that kind of respect from him?
I mean, it's huge. I mean, me and DC have a great relationship, and just to have that, knowing that he has that confidence in me only boosts my confidence, especially down the stretch. So it's, I feel like this whole team has been built off of, you know, it's our camaraderie and our confidence in each other.
Miles Turner joining us. Now, as a team, you've won 4 straight, and you've done so without Victor Oladipo. So what's to say about how good this team is that you can keep on rolling even without Vic right now?
I think we're a great team, you know, with Vic or without Vic, you know, you know, we obviously host on having our best player out there, but you know, we're so deep and we have so much depth on this team that you know, anybody can step up any given night, and I feel like that's you know, it's a credit to our, you know, our front office. That's kind of like how they put this team together and based this team in the off season. And, you know, it's been working for us, and you know, hoping to keep the train rolling.
Miles Turner is my guest. When Paul George was dealt, it seemed like everybody gave up on the team, but you guys simply did not give up on each other, and then you had a huge year last season, and now you're backing it up with another big year this year. So what's that say about the toughness and the mentality of the guys in that locker room?
I think the whole mentality to itself really built into our resiliency. I think that we came in, you know, especially after that trade, and said, look, man, you know, everybody's counting us out, but we have so much talent here that, you know, if we just go out there and just play as hard as we possibly can, go night in, night out, you know, we're going to be in a lot of games. And that's kind of what we built our identity off of last year. You know, Bojan had a career year. DC had a great year. Obviously, Vic, you know, he rose to his ascension. I mean, it's just guys just stepped up out of nowhere, and we just really, you know, came out and laid the foundation for what we want this organization to be.
Pacers center Miles Turner is my guest. Listen, I know you're not going to make it about you, but you are a huge part of this. And when you've been asked about the secret to taking the next step this season, you've said it's just a matter of working hard. But I think in that sense, you're kind of underselling yourself a little. At the end of last season, you said that you saw yourself in the mirror and you thought you looked a little bit pudgy. What was your reaction when you saw that? And then how'd you go about addressing that? What did you do?
Well, I feel like, you know, my body fat was just really high. It was like 14-15%, and I wasn't necessarily out of shape, but I just wasn't in great shape, and I wasn't in, you know, that shape I came into the league as, you know, coming in as a rookie and whatnot, and that's when I was moving at my best, and, you know, I just told myself, you know, I'm just going to work my ass off this summer, and I had kind of took a new approach and put a new plan together and kind of went out in the middle of nowhere, Texas, and just really worked on myself, you know, mentally and physically, and, you know, I'm starting to reap the benefits now. It's just one of my body, working on my stamina, and just working on my overall game.
Man, that's strong, especially for somebody so young. Like, for instance, I had Nate McMillan on the show earlier this season, and we talked about the commitment that you put in during the offseason and the fact that you touched on this. You didn't just change your diet. You also went to work on your body, and that included working hot yoga in the offseason. What was it about yoga that made you want to try that and get into that?
Oh, I've tried yoga in the past, and I'd always been a fan of its benefits, so I never really did it consistently. Once I started to get warmer, took it a lot more seriously, took a lot more upon myself. It was just, my durability got better, more and more flexible, and then I just started feeling better, so especially when I got on the floor. So, I'm not going to lie, the first couple of weeks I tried it, I was a little nervous, and I was like, it was kind of a waste of time, but once I started doing it more and more consistently, I started to reap benefits from it.
And Maz, if you don't mind, I'm going to have my producer pick you up real quick and make an adjustment to this phone real quick. I just want to finish that interview. That's really interesting. So he started doing yoga, and I'm not going to say that I've spent a lot of time doing it, but I've kind of read up on it. Man, there's a lot that goes into that. You don't just decide to do it. There's balance poses, headstands, arm inversions, arm balances, inversions. I mean, that list goes on and on and on. That is not an easy thing to do, and especially mentally, as you kind of adjust to that. I'm going to try and fix that phone line and finish that up. We're talking to Miles Turner. Miles, thanks so much for doing that. I appreciate it. So listen, you wrote a piece also for the Players Tribune earlier this season, and you talked about Turner's block. It's a group of fans in Section 101. How does a fan get to sit in Turner's block? What's that all about?
Well, it's something that I started a couple years ago, and it was originally PG's. Once he left, I wanted to take it over and kind of try to bring it to new heights and whatnot. And I basically held a tryout, and basically, fans come and audition. They literally have like 30 seconds just to act as crazy as possible, and then if I like it, I pick them. If I don't, I'll try again next year. Kind of thing. But there were a lot of fans that came out this year, showed a lot of support, and then it was crazy. Like I had some girl like get down on one knee and propose to me. Like I had like people like running all around the gym, silly string. It was crazy. It was like a whole bunch of stuff you couldn't even imagine. It was pretty awesome. So just to show, just to see how fanatic any of the fans are, it was pretty crazy.
All right, and then one of the additions went down. One fan performed a version of Black and Yellow, except went with Blue and Yellow. Included a Rick Smits reference. What did you make of that?
Well, his video was awesome. Like I watched it, more than a couple of times, and I showed my family, I showed up my boys, and he did a great job with that. Just the lyrics, just the whole performance of it, the delivery, it was pretty cool. And I think I got him up there, but that was pretty cool.
We're talking to Miles Turner for a few more moments. We talked about all the work that you put in, and it's paying off, and the numbers are there, and the team is playing well. It's also led to a lot of attention in the sense that you're getting run now as a possible defensive player of the year, also an all-star. What's it mean to see all of that and all that hard work pay off the way it is?
It's paying off. It paid off really well for me. I'm not necessarily concerned about those kind of things right now. My biggest concern is to help my team win, and if that's being the best defensive player, I'll do it. If it's having to perform an offense, then I'm going to do it. But my approach is to come out here and just be myself, not necessarily conform to what the media or what outsiders want me to be. It's just all about what my team wants and needs.
See, the thing is, you're still just 22, and yet from the outside, you play a lot older than you actually are. One of the guys that you played with that you learned from was Al Jefferson, always one of my favorites. What was it like to play with him, and what did you learn from him?
I love playing with Big Al. I think he really got my jump hook right. We worked a lot on just my jump hook. I've always had a hook shot per se, but the way he shot his jump hook is a little different than some typical big, I worked on that a lot with him. He's just a really good guy off the floor, man. He's just a good vet. You got to have a locker room, learning life lessons from him and whatnot. That was a big part of everything I was doing.
Indiana's in second in the Central. They're at home against Milwaukee tomorrow night. Miles Turner is having a big year. Miles, great to have you on the show. Appreciate you, and I appreciate it. Thanks so much.
No doubt. Thank you, guys.
Have a great day. Miles Turner, he is so good. And he's going to get better and better and better and better. And really committed for a guy that age. For like what he said, for him to go out into the middle of nowhere the way he did, not only to work on his body. I mean, it's one thing to say, yeah, I had some body fat that I didn't like. I wasn't in the best condition I had to be in. But I went and worked on my mind, my body, my game. I did what I had to do, and it's paying off. He is having a huge year. And had an enormous game last night. Next level type of game last night. And when a guy like Darren Collison says what he's saying about him, you know it's real. Got a big game coming up on Thursday night. Chargers-Chiefs. AFC West. Major playoff implications. Home field implications. Love that matchup. We'll get into that too. Also, still ahead later on this hour, Frank Gore is going to join me. Next segment is wide open. Quick email. Romy, that joke that Philbin told was terrible. Sincerely, Mike Forbis.
911, what is your emergency?
Yes, I need a police officer over here.
What's going on?
I've got two teenage daughters, and I just got home from work. They were physically fighting with each other, and one of them kicked a hole in a door. And they're 12 and almost 14, and the 12-year-old is completely out of control, and I can't physically, if she's as big as I am, I can't control her.
Okay, did you want us to come over to shoot her? Are you there?
Excuse me?
That's a joke. Okay, so
who are you? What is your name?
Mike Forbis.
Okay, that's not funny, Mike.
I'm sorry.
What? I'm going to file a formal complaint.
I don't blame you a bit.
Hey, because you know what?
What?
It's really not very funny.
I know it's not, ma'am.
Well, guess what? It's not going to be very funny when I go in front of your supervisor and tell him.
I understand.
Excuse me, I guess he can just listen to the tape.
Yes, he can. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Well, sorry doesn't cut it. I need a police officer.
Hold on.
Damn, she went in on Forbis. What exactly is the screening process for 911 operators back in the day in that state? That idiot, Forbis. Forbis is like open mic night at 911. Hey, is this thing on? Yeah, hey, lady, sorry about your daughters that are too big for you to handle. You just be sure and you tip that waitress on the way out, all right? Is this thing on? Hello, hello. Yeah, man, I just flew in. Man, my arms are tired. Good one, Forbis. Roland in Pittsburgh, resetting the old jungle favorite. Hey, Rome, we don't blame Philbin for using those challenges so quickly. Signed, stupid people that use all three lifelines on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire on the first three questions. John in Huntington Beach, War Hawk being on The Price is Right. Have you done that, Hawk? Pick up those cans real quick. What's he talking about? Have you been on The Price is Right?
No, I don't know why he said that. I've gotten tickets, but I couldn't go because there's a conflict of interest. It's a CBS show. We're a CBS company. They do not allow CBS employees to go win prizes on The Price is Right.
Did you not know that?
No, I didn't at the time. This was 2010.
You were looking for a handout again, weren't you?
Yeah, yeah. 2010, just got to LA. I was working for a different CBS station, Jack FM, and yeah, looking for a handout, and had to put my hand back into
my
pocket.
Did you make it to the audition stage?
No, but I did hear, and maybe people can attest to this, that you have to be like insane in line. Like you have to be dressed up, jumping around like crazy, just be like an insane person. And then the producers walk around and they find the craziest people
stands
for that.
The reason, right? Why would they want to put boring people on TV?
Yeah, which means I probably would not have gotten on that show.
Dude, they would have taken one look at your porn stash. There's no way you would have seen the light of day. I mean, they are in it to make money. They are in it to get ratings. They are in it to get people to watch and not change the channel, right?
That is correct.
Dude, never mind getting on stage. How are you going to even get inside that building?
Television City. I know where it is. You know, a little GPS, MapQuest at the time, 2010.
Uh-huh.
Head on over there.
You know what you could do? What you could do is quit this show, and then you can be on that show.
That is the backup plan.
Now, that should be the actual plan. You could be on The Price is Right by the end of the day, Hawk. All you have to do is walk out of here and never come back. Dude, think about this now. Think about this. You might get up on the stage. You might win your... No. You might get up on that front row, win your way onto the stage, get the showcase showdown, win them both, and then it would be worth it.
Yeah, but that's a tough bid because you have to be within 250 of your showcase to win them both.
You can do it, Hawk. I would encourage you. Walk out that door, never come back, and go to Television City. You can do it. And tell the wife that, too.
I'll do it.
You got a kid on the way, right?
Yes, I do.
So now is the perfect time. Do it.
Quit the job, invest everything in a game show.
Do it. Maybe you like playing golf. Maybe you can pick up that putter, and you can make that putt.
And it's a hole in two. They always trick you. You get one shot, and then they flip it, and they give you a second one.
Do they still do that game?
Yes, they do.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, hole in two.
You can do it, Hawk.
Thank you.
Do it. And I'm telling you to do it.
Okay.
Okay. Ed Wells in the 360 tweets, Dawson kissing contestants on The Feud isn't weird or creepy at all. Signed, that announcer checking out Aaron Baines in the shower.
I took a look at Baines in the shower. He looks like all of Australia. He is really put together.
It's Tommy Heinsohn. Why are you bringing him into this? What's Heinsohn got to do with this? Killing a lot of trees today. Frank Gore is coming up. And in between now and then, I've got an open segment. I'm not sure whether or not I'll get to the Molly Burger. Maybe tomorrow, maybe today. We'll see. Frank Gore, though, hopefully, in the last segment, so 40 past. Never a good look when you untuck a long, bulky dress shirt. Like, you may think that it makes you look casual, but more than likely, that shirt was not made to be worn untucked. That's why Untuck It makes shirts that are specifically designed to be worn untucked. There is a difference. You can't just untuck a shirt. Some of these shirts are not made to be worn that way. Untuck It, though, understands. A casual shirt that's not too long, not too short, it is just right. Shirts designed so well that GQ calls them, quote, perfection. Untuck It shirts are a go-to for any occasion, from casual to dressy. Not only do they look good, but they feel amazing. I know. I have them. Impeccable craftsmanship and attention to detail make Untuck It the only choice for the untucked man. With more than 50 sizing options, every guy can find the perfect shirt. So log on to untuckit.com. Check out all the new fall arrivals. Use the promo code ROME20. Get 20% off your entire first-time purchase. You can also visit Untuck It in one of their over 35 retail locations nationwide. Stop hiding your shirt with your pants with your shirt. Untuckit.com. Promo code ROME20 and get 20% off.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Frank Gore coming up in about 15 minutes. Check this guy out. I'm trying to think when the last time he called was. Not a good year for the Raiders. And I've been wondering about this guy. When was he going to check in? When was he going to share his thoughts? When was he going to break it down? If you want to know what's going on with the Raiders, if you want intel, if you want to get on the inside, if you want to know exactly what's going on, you go right to the source. Not Chuck, not Reggie, not Mark Davis, not even my pal Amy Trask, although that's where I would start, Amy Trask. Tim Kawakami, maybe. But if you really want to find out what's going on and you want to know what's up, you go to Arlington. You go to Mike. And not just any Mike. You go to Raider Mike. And I've been wondering where Raider Mike's been. And now I found him. Brother, what's going on? Bring me up to date. What's going on?
Smack. Epic to be back in the jungle, my man. Thanks for taking the call.
Always.
You know, what a classic weekend, Jim. I'm just back from Kuwait. I'm feeling more than a little salty. And what better than an old school AFL showdown between two classic rivals like the Steelers and the Raiders? You know, my voice is gone. I hit the black hole tailgate party in H slot, rubbed elbows with the brick. My old friend Rob, Wayne Mabry, AKA the Violator from lap 6 of the LA Coliseum days. But Jim, the day was stolen by my main man, Phil Villapiano, who always ventures out to the games. And it seems like his daughter set this whole thing up. Some time ago, Pittsburgh fans had gotten a hold of Phil, and they inducted him into their terrible towel Steelers fan club Hall of Fame or whatever they call it. So old number 41, he reaches out to none other than Franco Harris, drags him out to the East Bay, and on Sunday, we inaugurated Franco and his entire Italian army into the Black Hole Hall of Fame. Think about it. The two main players in the Immaculate Reception. Great times, Van Smack. Real quick, on Reggie McKenzie, we all knew he was leaving eventually. I'm personally a little surprised, Jim, he didn't take that Green Bay gig earlier this year. And, you know, the book on Reggie's simple. He inherited a mess and turned it into a playoff team in 4 years. He's had some head-scratcher picks mixed in with one killer 2014 draft, and he's a master at cap contracts. I wish him all the luck in the world. As for Chucky, hey, I'm hoping for something maybe like a Scott McLaughlin or a Lewis Riddick Jr. even. You know, Chucky needs a strong GM because he sucks at it. That's all I got, Jim. Mele Kalikimaka, learned that one in Maui a couple of weeks ago. I'm out.
Raider Mike. Brother, you sounded horrible. By horrible, I mean awesome. He left it all out there in the black hole. And what did I tell you? Did he not break that down perfectly? He nailed his analysis of Reggie McKenzie, and I agree with it. He talked about Phil Villapiano and Franco Harris. He said, and Vance Mack, the principal is involved in the immaculate reception. However, if you're going to have the principals involved in the immaculate reception, shouldn't Frenchie Fuqua have been involved? Was that not who that pass was attended to before Franco picked that up off his shoe tips before it hit the ground? I think. What about look it up? Look it up, because if I'm right, I want credit. And if I'm wrong, you can throw it in my face. Frenchie Fuqua.
You should give them some credit, I mean, for real.
Come on, Raider Mike. The immaculate reception. Fact of the matter is, as a kid growing up in Los Angeles, I became a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. Why? Because of that play. 1972? Bradshaw, over the middle, to Frenchie Fuqua, there's a collision, the ball is in the air, and out of nowhere, Franco Harris, off his shoe tops, headed to the end zone, and a Steeler fan was born in Vance Mack. Jack Tatum was there. Or was it George Atkinson? I think it was Tatum. He lit Frenchie up. It didn't matter. Franco was there. And that's how I became a Steeler fan. And that's how, ultimately, when I got a job at Fox back in the day, I shared a dressing room with Terry Bradshaw, and I met my hero. You know how that goes. Sometimes you meet your hero, it's awesome. Sometimes you meet your hero, and it sucks. That was fine. Bradshaw was cool. My other hero, Ron Say, the Penguin, came here for a podcast. That was awesome. And I met my third childhood hero, Gail Goodrich, at a Kmart opening in Santa Barbara. Actually, Goleta. And that was also cool. When we... Yes, Alvin? Actually, if I'm not mistaken, didn't Raider Mike say Mele Kalikimaka at the end of that call? Like, Merry Christmas? He learned that in Maui? Well, I've got something from Mike, too. I would like to return the favor. From my family to your family, Michael, Merry Christmas. Job, Alvin. He knocked out a couple of years ago. When we come back, Frank Gore, Dolphins running back, joins us. Welcome back. Jim Rome with you in Southern California. I am hyped to have this conversation. We are joined by a five-time Pro Bowler. He is fourth all-time in rushing yardage. An Art Rooney Award winner. Coming off a game where he had 12 carries and 92 rushing yards and a reception for 24 yards in Sunday's win over New England. 708 rushing yards and 124 receiving yards this season. He was a BCS national champion at Miami. He rushed for 2,953 yards in a season at Coral Gables High School. Nearly 3,000 yards in a single season. Miami is at Minnesota Sunday, 1 p.m. Eastern on CBS. Dolphins running back Frank Gore is my guest. Frank, it's been a minute. It is so good to have you back. How are you, Frank?
Hello. I'm good. What's up, Jim, man? I know it's been a little minute, man. I'm doing great there.
Man, it's great to have you back, Frank. So glad you did it. Listen, you've been around the game a long, long time, Frank. There's nothing you have not seen. What did you make of the end of that game against New England, the so-called Miami Miracle?
It was great, man. It was crazy, man. You know, because we do practice that play, like, on Saturdays and walkthroughs. And, man, and our coach always tell us, man, the game not over till it's still zero. And we fought for four quarters, and, you know, that was the last play of the game, and we got the victory. I was happy for Kenyon Drake to get the touchdown.
We're talking to Frank Gore. Kenyon Drake's your guy, Frank. In fact, that's a guy you've taken under your wing and you've mentored. He calls you the GOAT, and he talks about how you changed his approach to work because of what you've taught him. Knowing that, what did it mean to you to see him get into the end zone and finish off that play?
I was very happy for him. You know, just knowing how much he loved the game and how hard he worked every day. How bad he want to, you know, be one of the top guys as a position, man. And I was so happy for him, but we got the big win. And, you know, he did what the coach told him to do, and he finished, you know.
Frank Gore joining us. He did finish. Now, Frank, when you were interviewed on the field after the game, you made the point that it was a great team win, and the team was built for moments like that. Take me inside that locker room. How would you describe the mindset and the kind of grit that team has?
Man, the locker room was great. And just knowing, like, all the stuff we've been through this year, like injuries, like a bunch of key players, and we're still fighting. We're still in the hunt. And just, you know, just believing in each other and our coaches, and just we work and we grind so hard, man. And I was just happy for a big, great team win, you know, especially playing the guys like the Patriots who always, you know, run the AFC, man, and we got a chance to beat them.
We're talking to Frank Gore. Now, Frank, you yourself chewed up some serious yardage on the ground, and they were all tough, physical yards. How much pride do you take in the fact that your number kept getting called and you kept delivering against a good Patriots team?
Oh, I was happy, man. You know, I've been blessed to play this game, and I'm still playing. And, you know, if I couldn't play this game right now, I won't be playing. And, you know, Coach Gates told me, man, he's going to, you know, let me keep going, and he did. And I was going to try to take advantage of every opportunity he gave me on the field, and that's what I try to do.
Frank Gore, my guest. You know, Frank, I mentioned off the top, you're now fourth all-time in rushing yardage, and on Sunday you passed LaDainian Tomlinson for fifth all-time in yards from scrimmage. It's a couple of big-time milestones. How much pride do you take in those two numbers?
I'm blessed, man. I'm blessed. You know, especially coming out of college, you know, everybody's saying I won't be in the league 2 or 3 years. But I won't be in the league only. I will be in the league only for 2 or 3 years. And man, look at me, man. 14 years in, I've been blessed. You know, I'm still having fun. And man, my name been mentioned with the guys who I respect, like LaDainian Tomlinson, Barry Sanders, and the list goes on, man. So I'm just happy and I'm enjoying it.
Man, 14 years, Frank. 14 years. Everybody wants to talk to you about your age. I'm not going to go there because that's nothing but a number, but you're having another big year, and you're getting Pro Bowl run. What would it mean to you to get back to another Pro Bowl?
Oh, man, it'd be big, you know, especially like what you said earlier, everybody talking about age. And I want to show people it don't matter. You know, as long as you love the game and work hard and believe in that man up above, anything can happen. And that's why you know, I'm still playing at a high level because I don't listen to what another man say what I can't do, you know.
Never, Frank. You never have. And the thing is, I mean, you love the game. You're coming from a place of love. But I want to point out, you've got a shirt that you've been known to wear sometimes, and that shirt has a message which reads, "Do it for the doubters." What does the message mean to you? How much motivation do you get from the doubters?
But, you know, I've been doubting my whole life. You know, not just on football, just, you know, me struggling in school. I've been, even had teachers saying I won't go to college, you know, because, you know, I want the smartest guy in school. And that's why I tell kids, don't never let no one tell you what you can't do, you know. And, you know, just being doubted when I did tore my two ACLs, you know, people saying I'm not going to go to the NFL. And when I did get drafted, I got it was a reach of a third rounder. you know, and the list goes on, man. You know, I just want to keep working and keep proving and showing the people that, you know, anything possible, man. As long as you believe in that man of God, respect what you do and love what you do, and you can do it.
Frank Gore joining us. Of course, you did go to college. You went to the U, and you made it very clear that your time in Miami is not a retirement tour. The numbers show this, Frank. I get it. But as somebody who went to Coral Gables High and the U, what's it mean to you to be back in Miami playing for the Dolphins? What's that like?
I love it, man. The fans been showing me so much love. You know, just knowing, cause I, you know, just knowing my story, you know, knowing how hard it took for me to get to the NFL. And, man, you know, I'm home. You know, I'm home. I've been blessed to have a great high school career. And, you know, I've been on some great dorm teams. And when I got an opportunity to play at dorm, I did some great things there. And now I'm home to finish my career in the NFL for the Miami Dolphins. And, you know, I'm still having, you know, a pretty good year, you know. And, you know, hopefully we can just keep trying to win as a team to try to get in the postseason. So that'd be a blessing right there.
We're talking to Frank Gore. You know, Frank, your teammates just rave about how much they've learned from you, and not just about how to play the game, but how to approach the game, how to be a professional every single day. You don't have the success you've had on the field and off without being a professional. I'm curious, so many guys have learned from you. Who were some of the teammates you first learned from when you first came into the NFL?
Well, I paid attention, you know, when, like, top when guys came to on. 49ers, like Isaac Bruce, Anquan Boldin, like guys who I respect the game. You know, I used to talk to them all the time, even just watching them, like, doing warm-ups. You know, I should see, like, how, you know, how Anquan Boldin used to be the first one on the field, you know, getting the chef ready, and I just took that from out of his book and put it in mine. You know, listen to Isaac Bruce every day, how he always tell me, don't listen to what people in the NFL say when you get a certain age, you know, and you know, and I just always kept that inside me, and you know, and I just learned from it, you know, and I just try to do what they try to do what they did, you know.
We're talking to Frank Gore. I get it, especially Bolden, man. He was just so tough, so
tough. Yeah, tough.
You know, Frank, you have been spending some time around the scouting combine in recent years. What have those trips been like? Are you looking to kind of set that up post playing career? What's the trip to the combine been like?
It's been great. You know, especially, you know, seeing a lot of these young top guys at the position, running back position, doing great things, like the kid out of New York, Barkley, man, he got very special talent. He's doing great things. And just seeing Zeke, I think Zeke's probably the top guy in this league right now at the position. And just happy to see that them young guys get the running back how it should be, you know, how it was back in the day.
You know, I wonder, when you're looking at players and you're evaluating players, in your mind, Frank, what makes a good football player? What are you looking for in a player when you evaluate talent?
I like to see at the running back position, from what I like to see how tough they are. And also at the running back position, how can they create in small spaces? You know, because in the NFL, you rarely get big holes. You know, if they can create and they're tough, you know, they got a chance to be a great back in the league.
Frank, before I let you go, I know you've been spending some time. You've been able to watch your son, Frank Jr., who's playing high school football right now. Man, I got to know, what's that been like for you?
I've been a blessing, man. I haven't saw him play since he was probably 4 or 5 years old. And, you know, when I got an opportunity to see him play, you know, just hearing, like, people say how good he was. But, you know, I didn't think it was – I thought they were just saying this because I was his dad. Man, my first game seeing him play, man, he had a great game. I was nervous more than he was, man. That was good. I was very happy. And that's one of the reasons I'm happy I'm home, too.
So, Frank, what's his running style like? What's his game like? How's he look?
I think he could do everything, man. He's got great vision, great feet. He's very smart as a football player. He can catch the ball and run from routes. I just got to get him in that weight room more this year.
Okay, that was going to be my final point, my final question to you, because he is getting a lot of attention from programs around the country, but I know you've been training with him. You've been working with him. What kind of lessons are you trying to impart upon him, and can he keep up with the old man?
I just try to show him. You know, I try to show him, like, he know what type of career I had, but like, I try to tell him, like, you know, when we're working out, you know, I train with other guys in the morning, but that second workout, a lot of guys don't do, you know, so... And I try to tell them, man, you gotta outwork everybody. Put in your mind that make your mind that strong that you don't care about. You won't, whoever you gotta compete against, you're gonna be better than them. So I try to show them like how hard to work, take every day, one day at a time, and just keep your head down and grind.
Frank, I would imagine, I mean, I know he's got opportunities. How is that young man not committed to the U yet?
You know, it's different now.
Yeah.
I want him to go to a college where I sit him. I'm going to let him make his own decision. And, you know, hopefully, you know, I would love for him to go there, but, you know, I'm going to let him make his decision on whatever college, whatever program fit him the best to show his talent. That's, you know, that's what he'll do.
Preach. I guess I got kind of caught up in a minute in your career and your background. Frank, I can't tell you. In fact, last thing, have you thought about, I know you still have some business to tend to, and you're playing really well right now at a really high level. Have you thought about what it's going to like to put on that yellow blazer when that day comes?
No, I never thought about it, but I'm still playing. And, you know how it is. You never know, you know what, you know, that decision when that time comes. You know, I will be very happy. I will be, man, you know, because, you know, just when you look back at my career, how tough and how hard it was to be here, you know, and hearing everybody saying what I came through, and if I get the opportunity to wear a yellow jacket, that would be everything right there, you know?
Dude, I can't imagine that would ever be sweeter for anybody. There's been a lot of guys who have overcome a lot of things, but from day one, man, you've had to battle and grind and fight and scratch for everything. I mean, literally every single yard, Frank, every yard.
Yep.
I appreciate you. It's been a minute or so, Frank. So good to have you on the show. Thanks for doing that.
All right, thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate you, man.
Always appreciate you, Frank Gore. Frank Gore is one of my favorite athletes ever. So glad we ran him down. When you do this, as long as I've done this, I cannot begin to tell you how much I respect him and how much I admire him and his grind and his work ethic and his character and his discipline, his determination, how badly he wants it, how professional he is. Damn, Rome, you love Frank Gore. Hell yes, I do. Love him. Always been one of my favorites. And when you do this, as long as I've done this, and I've mentioned this before, I've seen guys, I mean, not only do I interview sons of players, and I'm waiting to get to grandsons. I've seen guys' entire careers start, and I mean long careers, Hall of Fame careers, so I've got a profound respect for some of the relationships we have. That right there is one of them. That's on the very short list. I'm so glad we turned that around and got a chance to talk to him. Ton of respect for Frank Gore. So last segment, if you want to jump in and respond to it, go ahead. Quick reminder, you want to skip the gym and get a high-energy workout, do so with a Peloton. Take live studio cycling classes from the comfort of your home with New York City's best instructors. I do so 5 times a week, sometimes 6. Ride with instructors of other Peloton riders, or thousands, I should say, across the country on the interactive leaderboard. You can track your own metrics over time. You can continue to beat your own personal best. Head on over to onepeloton.com and learn more. onepeloton.com. I've told you that story. I bought my own Peloton a couple of years ago before we had a partnership on this program. I love that product. So good. Hey, Rome, even I got on the Prices Right. Unfortunately, I fell face first into the Plinko board. Won't be reading that. Hey, Romy, we're Alvy getting nice with wings and one of those $5 pitchers of Bud Light this Sunday at B-Dubs. Unwar Hawk. Wah! Andy in Portland. Alvy's not coming. Hey, Alvy, if you do, I'll hook you up with one of those $5 pitchers. Rome, Jingle Bells, Raider Mike, Throat Clear song, Just Shut This Bitch Down. Cannot stop laughing. Shane in SLO.
And you know,
other thing I love about Frank Gore, he had a tough, tough, tough road early on. And is such a pro in the way he's handled his business in his career. So, but thanks to Frank, good to have him back. Miles Turner, Buzz Williams. Actually, a couple of guys that don't do a lot of media and a lot of interviews. Frank Gore and Buzz Williams were both awesome. Miles Turner, too. My thanks to the XR4TI. You clones had a pretty good day. Not great, but pretty good. Let's get it again tomorrow. See you on a Wednesday. We're out.